Well, we're continuing our series in our need for a king. I really believe that there's something about us, there's something the way that we were designed, that we do have a need for a king. You hear about that God-shaped hole inside of your heart. You've heard that before. Well, I really think that hole can only be filled by one king, and that's the Creator King. And there's a lot of people that are substituting a lot of different kings in that hole there, and their lives become kind of distorted and out of control. And when we were looking at the Old Testament last week, we started out the series with kind of a bizarre story. I can't tell you how many people said, I can't believe that that's in the Bible. I've never read that before. That's amazing. What I would tell you, read your Bible. There's a lot of good stuff in there. You know, it's better than any book that's written today. So there's this amazing story where we saw the Israelite people, if you remember. They just kind of were doing everything that they thought was right in their own eyes. They started to do what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, how they wanted to do it, with whom they wanted to do it. And you know, even though they thought they were making good decisions, what happened is they abandoned God, and they abandoned who He is, Him, His morals, His law, and they abandoned Him, and they started to kind of use their own moral compasses and start saying, this is right for me, so I'm going to do this. This looks like it's right in this situation, so I'm going to do this. And then what happens is a whole nation kind of gets out of control. We kind of looked at the latter part of that. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the first part of Judges. We're going to head there eventually, but we're going to start in Joshua. But so just kind of put your finger in between those two books. They're right next to each other in case you can't find them. But in there, basically, I think all of us can really relate to the Israelites. They just had this attitude that I want to do what I want to do. And if we're all honest, don't you have that same attitude? Don't you want to do what you want to do? I mean, eventually they got tired of following God. They got tired of His ways, and they started looking at the culture around them and going, "Ooh, look what we're missing out on." And as they started to see things that they thought that they were missing out on, they abandoned God. And then what happened is they just got themselves into all kinds of trouble. And when they got in all kinds of trouble, they did what you and I do: God, help me, bail me out. I need out now, God. Quick, come in. And then they, for about a week, a month, just like you and I, turned back to God and His ways, and then they turned away from Him. And if you read through the book of Judges, it's a powerful book because it shows this incredible cycle that keeps happening over and over. What he said is, we're kind of looking at this statement: I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, and with whom I want to do it. I think that's the American statement, isn't it? I mean, as Americans, we like that statement, but we're a little bit more advanced than the Israelites, and you know, because they were kind of a primitive culture, right? We're further forward, so we tag it just a little bit. We say, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, as long as it doesn't what? Hurt someone. Now, last week, if you were here with us, if you weren't here with us, what I would tell you, you can go online to gainschurch.org and go to the messages, and you can hear a bizarre message from the Old Testament. But one of the things that we heard about was that the fact of the matter is that statement is that you can do what you want to do and you're not going to hurt anybody is the biggest lie that America and people believe. Because the fact of the matter is you can't do what you want, how you want, when you want, with whom you want, and not hurt somebody. First of all, if you're a person who has that attitude and you've been living your life that way, you have a lot of regrets, don't you, if you're honest? You chose to do this. You chose to walk away from this marriage. You chose to walk away from that person. You chose to say those words. You did this activity, and now you have a lot of regret and a lot of pain because of what you did. You hurt somebody. Maybe you forgot you are a somebody, and most people hurt themselves. But the fact of the matter is you hurt people that you love the most when you decide to do what you want when you want. Think about it, the alcoholic. He hurts people, doesn't he? He says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what somebody tells me because I'm going to drink as much as I want to, when I want, how I want, and with whom I want. And so he starts drinking, and he drinks, and he drinks, and he drinks to oblivion, and he abuses his spouse, he abuses his children, and he abuses himself. He hurts people. Think about the person that likes to accumulate lots of debt. You know, they keep saying, okay, I just want these things, and I don't want anybody to tell me that I can't have this. So I go out and I get big loans, and then eventually you're smothered underneath those loans, and then next thing you know, your family's smothered underneath the loans. You hurt people. If you're a parent and you choose to walk away from your spouse, or if you're a parent and you choose to have a drug addiction or alcohol addiction, or you choose these things that you want to do so badly. You don't just affect yourself. The fact of the matter is you affect your children. And if you're a child and you think you can do the same thing and do what you want to do as long as it doesn't hurt somebody, you're hurting your parents most of the time. When they've came to you and they've said to you, don't date this guy or don't date this girl, usually they're coming to you with a very specific reason that they don't want you to date that person because they see something in them. And you say, I don't care what you say, so I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to ignore all advice and all sanity, and I'm going to go after this person. You go after that person, you end up doing things that you wish you wouldn't have done, and the next thing you have all this kind of regret, and you're with them, you don't know how to get out of the relationship, and it might be an abusive relationship. Who do you think you're hurting? Not just you, but your parents. You're hurting the people that love you, the people that are around you. And worse yet, if you're of somebody that thinks that you can live your life this way and do what you want to do, you hurt future generations. Think about what alcohol has done to families. Think about what drugs have done. Think about what lying has done, deceiving, gossip. These things that we choose to do what we want to do when we want to do them. And we affect generation after generation after generation. So that statement, you got to throw that out. Because you can't do what you want to do, when you want to, how you want to, with whom you want to, without hurting somebody. So when we looked at that last week, it's kind of one of those things that we're kind of going, oh, that's very uncomfortable. But it's something that it's a truth that's communicated through Scripture. God tries to show us so that way we don't keep destroying people, so we don't keep walking away from Him as well. And in the book of Judges that we're going to go to, Judges is kind of a 310, 312 year period that Israel is kind of between Joshua. Joshua is a leader, and you have the judges, which judges are ruling it, and it's kind of sandwiched between the when they first had a king. So they're ruled by God, and God was supposed to be their king, if you remember. And God's law was supposed to be the way that they live their life. And what happens, if you remember, you have God saw them as a nation that were in captivity. I'm going to take it back a little bit further. They're in captivity in Egypt, and they cried out to God, and God sent them a deliverer and saved them. He sent Moses. Moses wandered with them through the desert for years. Remember that stories? Those stories where they kept rebelling against God. They wouldn't trust God. And then they get to the edge of the promised land and they can't go. And then eventually Moses comes back and Moses dies and then Joshua takes over. And this is kind of where we're at in the book of Judges. Joshua is the leader. Joshua has been kind of giving them victory after victory because he's submitted his life to God. And if you remember when Moses kind of turned it over to him, God said, if you will keep my decrees, in other words, you keep my law, I will be with you. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. No matter what you face, be strong and courageous. And Joshua does this. So Joshua at this point in his life, we're going to jump to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. So Joshua's leading them. And Joshua's kind of at the end of his life. And he starts to put out this plea to them. Now, last week when we looked at Judges, the end, we kind of got this bizarre story, the end of the story of Judges. And at the end of the story, it simply said that everybody was doing what was right in their own mind. But at the beginning of the story, it's more like what I would say is a retreat. You ever been to a camp before? Some of you are going to think that we're weird or strange because maybe you've never been to a church camp before. On the last day of church camp, especially when we went on retreats, something weird happened. You remember what happened? People cried, right? Yeah, you're like, okay, why did people cry? Well, what happens is on those retreats, a speaker, a youth leader will get up and they'll give these messages, and there's this plea. They're pleading with the students, or they're pleading with adults saying, turn back to God. Turn away from Him, you know, pick Him as the king in your life, and get rid of these habits, get rid of alcohol, get rid of that boyfriend, get rid of that girlfriend that's just dragging you down. And you know, they just give this plea, then all of a sudden the girls start crying, and next thing you know, the boys are crying, and everybody's like looking around. I remember one young man telling me, going, why is everybody crying? I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. You know what's happening? God's Spirit's moving, and speaking to these kids, and these kids have a sincere moment where they're going, God, I want you. God, when I get back home, I'm going to make amends with my parents. God, when I get back home, I'm going to choose the right friends. God, when I get back home, I'm going to get rid of that boyfriend. I'm going to get rid of that girlfriend. Or I'm going to get rid of that stash that I got hidden underneath my bed. I'm not going to drink anymore. They make these honest pleas with God. And what they're saying essentially is this: God, I want you back in control of my life. I want you as the king. So Joshua begins to plead with his people before he passes away. And it starts out with this. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Now, I think we ought to stop there, because I think that's something that should speak to us loud. Just imagine Joshua sitting before you and say, now fear the Lord and serve him with all of your faithfulness. When Joshua makes this first statement, he's saying, fear the Lord. Remember, God is awesome. Remember, he is holy. He is mighty. And fear him because of those things. But then he says, now you got to do something. You got to serve him wholeheartedly with every fiber of your being. You can't just kind of have this half-hearted relationship with God. You can't just kind of say, I'm in at this point, and then I'm out at this point. He's saying, I want you to be faithful to him. And there's something about faithfulness that's missing in the church. Honestly, can I be honest? People come to church on one Sunday a month, or they might come every other Sunday, or they come maybe on Christmas, Easter, and maybe some other holiday they'll join. And they say, that's enough. That's not faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God is saying, God, here I am. Use me every moment that I'm breathing, and I'm going to be part of your body that you set up on the earth. You see, I think we have a problem with faithfulness in our culture, because we want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, so nobody can tell me that I need to go to church, because I really don't need church, because I got God anyways. The fact of the matter is, God requires faithfulness. He requires total commitment, and that's what Joshua's saying here. He says, first of all, fear God. Know that he's awesome. Know that he's mighty. But now, commit your whole life to him. Everything to him. Every area to him. Not just this little moment of time. And then, so he goes on. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. This is basically code for teenagers. This is code for break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. For adults, it's get rid of some of the habits that you're involved with. Stop letting alcohol control you. Stop letting drugs control you. Stop letting money control you. I mean, this is just a lot of times we look at the word of these false gods, and we go, well, what are these gods? You know, you're looking at it like a little idol. But what are false gods in our culture? Just name some of them. What are false gods? Just shout them out. Wait, one at a time. Wait a minute. I got a blur all of a sudden. Try it again. Electronics. Yeah. Isn't that a big god? I mean, think about how much time, and it's not just kids, because I know kids get picked on a lot. It's not just kids, because I'm ashamed to say that my wife and I were sitting around last week, and we kind of were kind of chuckling, because everybody had a stinking iPhone and a computer on their lap. Every one of them in our house. We weren't even talking to each other. We're looking at this thing and worshiping it. I mean, kids, think about video games. Think about how much time you spend with those things. Could you imagine spending that much time with God? You see, the problem is, in that case, media is above God. You spend more time in media than with the creator of the world. What are other gods? Celebrities, yes. Huge. I mean, what do? We worship them, don't we? We dress like them. We want to imitate them. We want to be them. We want to touch them. I don't know why. That's kind of creepy, but... But we look at them and we say, oh, they're like God, and we got to get their music, we got to watch their movies, we got to whatever it is, we got to get the gossip, we got to get the dirt, money. Isn't that another god? How about family? Family can be a god. How about your wife? Your husband? How about your children? They can be gods, can't they? Anything. Here's what Joshua is simply saying. Anything that is above God is a false god. It's an idol. Anything that you are taking your attention off of him and you're placing that as a priority above him, that is a god. In our culture, we like to clean it up, and so we just think of idols. But this is everything that you and I participate in. There are all these little gods that are around us, and I would call them little kings. And they rule us. And God is saying, I want you fully. So Joshua says to these people, you got to throw away these gods. Got to get rid of them. And he goes on, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites and those lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So he says, basically, he says, if you don't really like serving God and God only, then choose one of them. Because you can't serve God, you can't serve all the gods of this world, and you can't have those things as priorities in your life above him. It doesn't work that way. So he says, you choose one of these guys. And he says, but for me, he says, I've weighed this. I've looked at media. I've looked at all the things that are distracting me. I look at money. I look at all the people that I worship. And I look at all these things. All those things mean nothing, is what Joshua says. Joshua says, none of those things are gonna have any priority in my life except for God. I've weighed it all. I've evaluated it. And this is what I'm choosing for me and my house. I mean, it's a bold decision. It's saying all these things of the world, all these things of culture that have all the influence on us, those are not going to be above God at all. And then so he goes on. He says, and then the people respond. He says, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. In other words, Joshua, it's okay. We are never going to turn away from God. We are never going to forsake him. We are never going to turn our backs on him. We're never going to accept these gods of culture. And you put a name on it, whatever it is. We're never going to turn to those things, but we're always going to seek after God. So don't worry about it, Joshua. And then they go, here's how you know that we're going to be faithful and remain faithful, Joshua, in verse 17. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt. And then they're basically saying, we don't want to go back to Egypt. We like the land that we're in. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey, with prosperity. We don't want to go back to Egypt, because when we're in Egypt, it says from that land of slavery. In other words, we don't want to be slaves again. Foreign gods make us a slave. Gods of our culture make us a slave. And they're saying, we don't want to go back there anymore. So Joshua, here's how you can know we're going to be faithful. And then he said, and also we remember that the Lord performed these great signs before our eyes. And then you drop down to verse 18, about midway through. It says, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. So the people said, okay, we've looked at this. Here's the gods of culture, money, people, fame, fortune, power, whatever they are. Here's all these gods. We don't want them. We want the Creator God, because the Creator God, he is the one that we want to rule over us. That's what they're saying in this moment. And then Joshua does what Joshua does and what most leaders do in the Israelites' history. They kind of taunt the people. Look what he says in verse 9. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. Great, thanks. You know, we just made a commitment. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. I mean, Joshua says, you guys just made a commitment. You're not going to keep it. How do we know we're not going to keep it? It's human nature, isn't it? We make promises to God, saying, God, I'm going to turn my life to you. I'm going to get rid of media. I'm going to get rid of the things that cause lust in me. I'm going to get rid of the things that control me. And then what happens? We're right back in the cycles, aren't we? Joshua knows this about the people, and he's telling the people, you know, God requires something. It's not as simple as going, God, I want you as my Savior. Here, done, over. God requires complete commitment. He requires everything of your heart, not just a little portion of your heart. He wants to be the king, and he will not allow anything else to share that kingship with him. And you're saying, well, I don't like that about God. Well, God is the Creator. He set himself up as king. You got to be okay with that. He is the king. And he's designed every one of us to be ruled over. You might not like that, but you are designed to be ruled over. You are a created being. And he says, I want to be the one to rule over you. And you're saying, but he's oppressive. Well, he's not. And you're going to find that out. He's not oppressive. He's not a dictator. He does it everything out of love for us and wanting our best in mind all the time. And so you have Joshua going, okay, people, I know this is what you want, but remember the commitment you're making? It's a big commitment because God is holy. And if you choose to go against him, his wrath will be on you. There's judgment. Judgment will come if you turn away from him and you forsake him. And the people go, but the people said in verse 21 to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord? And they shout out, yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, Joshua said, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Can I be honest? This is where a lot of Christians are. You need to throw away the idols. You need to get rid of the things that are controlling you, the things that are pulling your attention off of God. You need to get rid of the things that were where culture has absorbed you and you're saying, I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, and with whom I want to do it, and nobody can tell me what to do. You need to get rid of a lot of those things because those things have become gods to you and they become kings to you. And you got to get rid of those things. You got to throw them away, as Joshua says. It's like getting rid of those things. And then once you throw those things away, you got to do something. You got to give your heart. You got to yield it to the Lord completely. And that's going, God, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and you are the reign here. Not the things of culture. Not what I want. Not the things that I feel. But the things that you want, Lord. And that's complete commitment is what God is asking for. And the problem with Christians, we don't want complete commitment, do we? We want to dabble a little bit with God. We want a Savior. We want somebody to bail us out. But do you want a God that's promised to walk with you? Do you want a God that says, I'm going to love you passionately and I'm going to help you in this life? To walk with you through this life? Do you want that? Complete heart yield. Complete. Saying, you are my King above all things of this world. And I want you to lead me. Hard to do. Because our culture says, who needs a king? Because I want to do what I want to do, and I'm the king anyways. And I get my way. How's it working for you? Probably about like these people. Life gets very difficult. Life gets very crazy. And it spins out of control, and disaster comes. Remember the cycle they're in? The cycle of Judges is there's a time of peace. And then there's prosperity. Things are going well. All of a sudden, then there's disaster comes because they start turning away from God. They start choosing everything but God. They start putting all these little gods as the God. Disaster comes. They don't know what to do. They panic. They lift their hands. They cry out, oh God, oh great God, where are you? We need you. We need a deliverer. God, in his mercy and compassion, sends a deliverer, saves them. The people say this, essentially. They say, we won't do it again, God. We're going to recommit our lives to you. We're never, ever, ever going to go back. And immediately they go right back in the cycle. And we're the same. But God says, that's not the way I've designed you. That's not the way I want it to work. I want to be your king forever and ever and ever. And I do not want this cycle to happen. And that's why he shows us this crazy cycle that happens. Well, what happens in the book of Judges from this point, Joshua's getting older, getting ready to die, but God just continues to bless their land because they're doing something. God is their king. They're surrendered and yielded completely to him, and God gives them victory after victory after victory and expands their land, and they have peace and they have prosperity. And then Joshua dies. And not soon after Joshua dies, it kind of seems like in the story where all of a sudden he's barely in the ground and they're already starting to choose to do other things. And look what it tells us in Judges chapter 2, verse 11. It says, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. So Joshua dies, and immediately they start looking at culture and going, woo, I like culture. I like all the video games. I like all the pornography. I like all the alcohol. I like all the drugs. I like all these little gods that are out here. I like all this evil that's around. I like that. I'm going to choose that. I'm going to go after what I want to. And they choose these false gods, it tells us. It says that they forsook God. In other words, they turned their back on him. They chose cultural things over the Creator. They chose created things to worship over the one who created them. And they began to worship all these things. They made a conscious choice in it. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them up out of Egypt. They followed and they worshiped the various gods of the people around them. So they did what we do as Christians. We start looking around and we start seeing everybody else is having fun. Everybody else doesn't have to follow God's standard. You don't have to submit to him as your ruler and your authority. You don't have to. And you start looking at it and you start going, wow, look at that. Look what they get to do. They can have affairs. They can have extra money because they steal. They can go out to the bars. They can do all these things. So let's take all those things and let's just bring them in. And that's what these people were doing. They're looking at the culture and saying, oh, nobody's getting harmed. I mean, these people are okay. They're worshiping all these things but God. And they're doing everything that they shouldn't be doing, but they're still okay, so let's just do it. So they jump in wholeheartedly and they say, God, we don't need you. Don't need the king. We got it. I'm doing what I want to do. And then look what happens because they turn their backs on God. It says they provoked the Lord's anger. You don't think we provoke the Lord's anger today? You don't think that the choices that you and I make when we turn our backs on God and we say that I want this as my God, you don't think God gets angry about that? God has not changed. He is still jealous. He wants your full devotion, and he will settle for nothing less. He says they provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherahs. Now the Asherahs and Baal, they were the false gods in their times, and they were idols, and the law that God gave them that they were not to bow down to any idols. But I think it's above the idols. It's even more that these idols break God's basic standards and even the standard of life. These idols were evil idols. The people would worship these idols, the Baal and Asherah, because they were fertility gods. And maybe they were having trouble having children, and they would bring sacrifices, or the land was dry and wasn't bearing crops, or they wanted to make sure that they got crops. They would sacrifice things to these gods, these false gods. And the Israelites said, okay, we don't need a creator God, the one who said that I will be your king, and as long as you live this way, you can be my people. They said, I don't want to live that way anymore, so I'm choosing the gods of this world. And these gods of this world, you know how wicked Baal and Asherah was? If things started getting a little bumpy or rough in somebody's life, they would sacrifice a human being. If it started getting really bad, then they'd take a child and they'd sacrifice a child. And if it got really, really, really bad, and maybe they weren't getting crops at all, they would take babies and they would sacrifice them to these gods. This was distasteful to God. He hated this because he values life. And these people were choosing that over the creator God. And God gets angry. He says, I'm tired of that. Look at what happens in verse 14. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. And this gets a little harsh. He sold them to their enemies all around them, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. You see what happens when you start choosing to do what you want to do, when you want to, how you want to do it, with whom you want to do it, and you want to be the king, and you want to put other little kings in the place of God? You are going to have great, great distress. The whole nation chose to go after these false gods. They were giving their lives over to them and saying, we like this. And now they found themselves being sold into slavery again. All of a sudden, the people that they were conquering them. The culture that subdued them was oppressing them. And here's a key thing that we learn. When you simply trade one king for another king, the basic thing that you give up is your freedom. You think that when you say, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it, with whom I want to, you think that's expressing freedom. That is not expressing freedom. Because that kind of freedom leads you into captivity, into destruction, just like the Israelites. The ultimate freedom that you can have, if you were looking for the freedom that you're designed to have, is that's under the umbrella and the canopy of God's authority. Under him as the king and under his law. That is the ultimate freedom. You're saying, well, that sounds like bondage. That's not bondage because you don't understand God then. God is loving, merciful, and kind, and he has your best in mind, and he gave his laws and decrees so you could have a relationship and you can relate to him, and you don't have to have all these little kings as your God and reaping destruction in your life. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want you to go through the sin cycle where you have to constantly battle with the gods of this world. He says, I don't want that. He gave up his son to die so that you and I could overcome sin once and for all. So that there's no more gods except for him. And he says, well, you choose that. If you choose the little gods of this world, you lose your freedom. But you choose King, the Creator God, as your God, and you submit your whole heart to Him, you'll find the freedom that you've always looked for. And most of us think that it's only when we express our freedom that we find freedom. It's not. It's only when we submit to that kingship of the Lord God. And that's what he's trying to teach the people in Israel. That when you think that you're just giving up the King of Kings and you say, okay, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do these things, whatever they might be. You say, I'm going to go do these things. I'm turning my back on you, God. He says, you know what's happening? You're exchanging kings. And every time you exchange a king, the one king that you exchange the King of Kings for, you are going to be a slave to it. Why do you think alcohol enslaves people? Because it's a king that takes control. It's a king that does not have your best in mind. Why do you think people have a problem with gambling? Because it's a king that takes over in the heart of people, and they can't resist that king. Why do you think that stealing or people that like to gossip or people that like to have all these other gods, you name the gods, why do you think those things that they can't resist them anymore? Because they become subject to that king, and that king's goal is to destroy. That king's goal is to actually take away their freedom. Now there's another king that says, if you submit to me, I promise to restore you. I promise to give you a future. I promise to renew your marriage. I promise to renew your relationships that are broken. I promise to restore my relationship with you, and you'll experience freedom and peace and hope. So there's two different kings. Which one do you want? Do you want a king that's going to oppress you? Do you want a king that's going to be always there to make you his subject? Or do you want a king that says, I love you, and I want you to love me back? You know why it's so easy to say no to God? You know why it's so easy to turn your back on him? Because he will never force your hand. He will never, ever force you to submit your life to him. He will never force you to choose him over the culture. He will never do that because that's not God. He wants a loving relationship that goes two ways, where you love him and you submit to him, and he loves you and he leads you. That's the God of the Bible. So you have all these little gods in our world and all these little kings. I just want to list a couple of them quickly. There's kings that we love to serve, and we substitute the King of Kings for these things. Appetite. Think of the appetites that you just can't resist. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's shopping, spending, gossip, food. Can food be a god? You betcha. A lot of us struggle with that, don't we? I mean, it's like you try to focus on, okay, I gotta stop eating, I gotta stop doing this, and all you do is you focus on the food. That became your god. And it's just more of we're substituting the king, and our appetites destroy us. What about insecurity? I mean, insecurity is a king that destroys us, and it affects generation after generation after generation after generation. Think about, you know, maybe it's just me, but I remember working at places, and when I was in the workplace, and people were doing all this partying, and I didn't really do it because that wasn't my lifestyle. But after a while, I started to compromise some of my values and some of the things that I wanted because I was left out. They didn't want me to be part of their parties. They didn't want me to, I wasn't part of the cool crowd. And what happens because of my insecurities, I want to be like, I start compromising. I say, no, God, I don't need you in this area. So go ahead, step out, God. And then I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to go to this party because my insecurity became my king. And all of a sudden I became a slave to something. And then you think of a fear. Fear drives people. It becomes their center point of their drive of their life. And then the comparison. I don't have to say much about comparison, do I? I mean, look at you know you compare yourself to other people. Whether what they have, whether it's their homes, whether it's their cars, whether it's what they look like, what you don't have. Lust. I mean, look at our culture. Our culture is riddled by this. Everywhere you look, everybody is getting hit from every single side, saying, look at all this stuff. And our lust, our hearts go after this image. And we sell out to that image. And then when we sell out to that image, we destroy our families. We destroy our relationships. Lust as a God will destroy you in a heartbeat. And all it wants to do is put you into captivity. Greed. I don't have to say much about greed. You know what that's about. All you do is work, work, work to get more money, more money, more money, more money, and you're never satisfied. That becomes your idol. Consumption, more, 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 bigger, better, better. I need the latest, the greatest. I need more stuff. I can't get enough of it. That's my focus of my life. God's not there. Family history. You're saying, what do you mean family history? There's a lot of people that I've met with over the years who say that they said, I'd never want to be like my family. I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be like my dad. So their whole goal in life is to be the different from their family. And in the process, they walk away from God. They do it sometimes accidentally. And here's what I'm just telling you. If that's your goal in life and that's your drive because you want to be better than your parents and or you want to do something or provide more for your children, but you leave God out of the picture, you're going to repeat the same family history. Maybe you struggled with alcohol and you're trying to break that cycle and that's been your focus. I'm going to focus. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be like them. What I'm going to tell you is you factor God out of that equation, you're going to repeat the same cycle over and over and it becomes God. So there's many more gods that you guys can list. But the end of this history kind of closes out in this time in Israel where they were substituting all these little kings just like you and I do. And these little kings slowly pulled them away from the Creator God. In the last verse in Judges chapter 8, it says this, "The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, Naharaim," I'm just slaughtering these, so that's okay, "to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. 8 years they became subject to a culture that they chose over God. For 8 years, they became subject to a king who oppressed them and held them captive, and they chose that king for 8 years, and they couldn't even pronounce his name. And God says, I just want to be your Lord. So the question this morning as you go out is simply this. What are your gods? What things are in front of God? What things are these idols where you have to have them and they're getting in the way of a relationship with your Heavenly Father? You need to remove those things. You need to throw them away and yield your heart. And maybe you can do what Joshua's commitment was. As for me, and if you got a household, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord all of our days. That you submit and you yield to him once and for all as your king. And you stop looking at culture and going, these things are fun, these things are great, because these things that you substitute for the King of Kings, enslave, he frees. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just look at your scriptures this morning and it's amazing how it speaks so loud to our culture right now. And it speaks to many of our lives. And God, I would ask that you just write it in our heart to not allow us to do what the Israelites did. Help us to stop going through the motion of having a relationship with you and finally yield to you. God, show us what it means to submit to you as the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe. Help us to put aside all these little gods and all these little things that are just pulling us away from you. And help us to prioritize and start worshiping you. And experiencing your hope, your peace, and above all, your freedom. We thank you for being a good God that looks at us and goes, I love you, and I want a relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.